Okay.
Welcome to episode 175 of the Permaculture Pimp Cast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is My Passion, the only pimp cast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. How you doing, honey?
Good. How are you?
Good. Glad to have you back in the saddle. This episode, as always, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Heaven's Harvest. 10% off with promo code PERMA. Remember, source all the stuff you can yourself, and everything you can't, go check out Heaven's Harvest. All right. If you would like to also check us out on another platform, it's called the Fountain app. You can check out all your podcasts over there. You can even triple up the speed. And if you'd like to tip a pimp, you can do it in a form of Bitcoin called sats. So you can drop some SATs on some PIMPs. How you doing, honey?
Great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Everything is going wonderful. You've not been in here for a while. You want to tell everybody why?
Well, you've had people, you did a couple lives last week, didn't you?
Yeah, I've been kind of focusing on the, all the events that are going on right now. I wanted to give those people some time, anybody that wanted to come on, and try to get some, you know, people are wondering, where do they go to get, you know, some hands-on? Well, that's not really a place necessarily for most hands-on stuff, but where they can meet other people like themselves that, you know, we're also in a time in the United States of amnesia where the inflation is going through the roof. I talked to a Canadian actually today earlier on the phone, a friend of mine, and actually it's Alex from the Firmamental podcast. And man, he was kind of spitting back at me. He's like, dude, the inflation down there is something else. And we could see it when we were up there. The gas prices were considerably lower.
Yeah. Yeah. Inflate. Every time I go to the grocery store, it amazes me. I don't know how people on fixed incomes can even afford food.
Yeah. It's mind boggling, really, how everything. I really don't see it. Every time I go through that store and I see some of these folks walking around, man, and it's just a depressing sight. You look at what's in their basket. I mean, they're getting what they can afford. But good night, man. I mean, we got money to throw around to the Middle East. We got money to throw around to Ukraine. We got all this money everywhere. Oh, man, I better not get on my high horse. But anyway, you know, I don't even know how it went sideways already. So I'm going to not do that. I'm going to kind of get us back on the track again. So I think everybody kind of knows where I stand on a lot of this stuff. So as far as farm news, I've been really after testing. For those that don't know, I'm a journeyman IBEW electrician, been one for a long, long time. And I've mentioned it, I guess, in podcasts and in YouTube channels. And so some of these companies, they send me stuff. And in the case of like a lot of these solar generators, they're companies I didn't even know existed. So I've been trying out their stuff. And man, I got to say, some of these the smaller ones are really blowing my mind at how much they can actually do. And how much time it saves me. Because for all of you out there, here's something I want you to consider. Because for the longest time, I thought when I first heard of a solar generator, y'all, I thought it was the biggest scam ever. I'm like, how good could the capacity honestly be? How good could it possibly hold up? And I got one where you can put, and I'm going to probably come out with that one either tomorrow or the day after, where these folks sent it to me. It's called All Power, where I can literally carry in one hand all four solar panels. And it's, wait till you see this rig, y'all. It is absolutely awesome. And then in the other hand, I can actually carry the device, which is really blowing my mind, the capacity. So I got to eat a little bit of crow. I did it first on that one we purchased, and then they've been sending me these things. I've been testing them. And like the one we did today, that thing is carrying a load of 50 amps solid. Yeah. I mean, I tried to blow it up.
Yeah.
I tried to see, I figured there is no way this thing is going to carry 50 amps in a portable device. Now, that particular device weighed about 112 pounds, I think. And this other one, I am running a 6-amp pump to put out the stuff that I need on these fields, the extract. You've heard me talk about it. And it is absolutely getting it done. So I'm really, really floored at what they're able to do. I got to eat some crow when it comes to this stuff. When they first, I remember years ago, I was listening to maybe Alex Jones or something like that. They were talking about a solar powered generator. I'm like, man, get out of here with this nonsense, man. There is no way that thing's going to carry any kind of load that's worthwhile. And I tell you what, the technology, in fairness, I don't think the technology was really all that wonderful back then.
But so what was the limitation? Was it the battery? Because I remember the battery was always being.
Yeah, the battery, or that was really the biggest limitation, is how many times you can charge and discharge this thing, and can solar panels actually do it in a timely manner? Well, I'm finding out that the technology, even when we're covered with, how do I say that? Oh, I don't have to mind my voice. I don't have to mind what I'm saying. I'm not live on YouTube, thank God. No, even when there's chemtrail skies, this thing is still getting it done. And there's been a lot of that as of late. It starts off crystal blue. Morning. Yeah. So why don't you tell them about that?
Yeah. Well, we were out this morning doing chores, and it was clear blue sky. It, like, today and tomorrow are supposed to be nice, warm days, and no rain in sight. We go out this morning and we see streaks across the sky. And then all of a sudden tonight it's cloudy.
You got an alert, right?
Yeah, saying that it was going to start raining. And I'm sure the two have nothing to do with each other.
Yeah, there was absolutely no rain in sight for days. And then all of a sudden they spray, and it happens every single time on cue. And then, you know, people start feeling weird, whatever the case. It's hard to go into some of these deeper issues when I can't even get people to look up. I mean, it's really mind-boggling how many times everybody's saying, well, go into this a little bit more. And it's really shocking how many people want me to cover the esoteric a little more, which I'm thinking about doing, like maybe one day a week. I don't know how I'm going to organize it in here, because I'm really up to my eyeballs in so many things right now. But the real truth of it is, good night, man. It is just, it's mind-boggling how crazy everything is. I mean, so speaking of which, I've kind of eased back off again of the podcasts that talk about, you know, weird things, and really leaning more into the things that are actually helping me. And I'm learning so much. I've been checking out, you know, through the Firmamental guys, man, I've got a lot of resources now that I didn't have. And some of the other people, man, they send me information and I check it out. And the real truth of it is, man, there's interesting things out there where you can occupy your mind without necessarily going to the dark side.
Yeah.
So that's real. We'll talk about that in a minute. But other news, the sheep are getting big.
About what, 2 more weeks? 14 more days?
Is that how long?
About until the first one could potentially have lambing season will begin.
Well, the one is starting to fill up her milk.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it could be before. I mean, it's just a general. It's not 100% accurate.
So. Yeah, which also means I got to get that ram out of there. We got a renegade ram, and he just lost his mind. I don't know when or where, but his butt's going to the freezer. And folks, I can't, for all of the people that are getting in this space, and I read your notes. I mean, I can't always respond, y'all, but please believe, if it gets to me, I read it, and I try to bring it out on the show too. But there's so many people that are getting into this space, and I know you're struggling for information. I know what it was like to start out in this. So don't think for a minute that I don't understand, but doing this work, there are times you are going to have to graduate animals into the freezer. And I don't care how much you love them, man. If they got behavioral problems, you can't put up with that. It's, and I've said it before, I've said it numerous times. You got a chicken, you got a rooster that comes in on you every time you get in there. In the freezer, you're going to go. You got a sheep that's jumping the fence. In the freezer, you're going to go. You got a cow that wants to get violent. Well, you know the case. In the freezer, you're going to go head first. And it's got to be all business. Otherwise, you're going to have a petting zoo. there are so many people that are falling into that trap where they fall in love with the animals. Hey, y'all, like Tina Turner said, what's love got to do with it, man? This is, at the end of the day, a business. And you're either going to be a farmer or you're going to have a petting zoo. And it's really shocking how many people are turning into a petting zoo.
Yeah. Well, it's difficult. It's difficult to call the animals that you need to call.
Not for me, it ain't. I mean, I go into it knowing full well that, you know, they are there for a very specific purpose. And if they're not going to make the cut, then I'm going to give them the best life possible. But at the same time, I'm very resolute when it's time for them to graduate to that freezer. So yeah, don't want him around when the little ones are running around, because he's so, I don't know what's wrong with him.
Every time you turn around,
he's wanting to ram you.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know if something happens when you put them in with a bunch of females, if some sort of change takes place. I'm not sure.
Well, it wasn't that way the whole time. I mean, he got that way. Anyway, he's got to gizzo, and that's what's going to happen. So you got a little experiment going on down there with your seeds.
I started a bunch of seeds this morning. Part of the experiment is based on Stefan Subkoviak's. He did a video recently where he started seeds in sand. And the general idea, I'm not going to be able to articulate all the nuances that he did, but generally you start them out in the worst conditions possible. So they send out the message that, oh, things are really, really bad here. Send all the resources and we'll get started. So I have an experiment that a third are started in sand, a third are started in potting soil, and then a third are started in compost. So we'll see how it goes. We'll see how the different seeds do.
The bigger idea for this experiment is that the seeds know that, oh my goodness, they got to dig deep into their, and this is to a certain extent, it's probably theoretical. And I think Stefan said he learned it down in New Zealand, and there's people doing incredible things. And it sounds pretty doggone sound in that you're basically giving these seeds are saying, man, I'm going to struggle here, man. I got to break out all my best genetics that I've been holding on to for the longest time. And then they're in these very, very sub-ideal conditions. And so they should produce theoretically better than anything else.
Yeah, I tried to do a little bit of research on it before I did it, but I didn't really find a ton of information on it, but I didn't look a whole lot. So we'll just see how it goes.
Well, I don't think this information was by and large really, really popular out there. I mean, from what I understand, he had to get it kind of off the beaten path from a guy that taught him down in, you know, in some obscure place in New Zealand. So I'm curious to see how it's going to turn out. I mean, it sounds, as soon as I heard him talk about it, I'm like, okay, well, I know this guy to be a genius. He'll never tell you that, but he is. And I'm like, okay, this is a guy that will travel across the planet just to go find one bit of information. I mean, that's my kind of guy. And he swears by it. I mean, I'm really looking forward to see how that pans out. And it would be a great, great benefit to a number of others out there. But basically, you start them that way, and then they're going to get transplanted, right?
Right. So eventually, they'll get transplanted either into the high tunnel or actually, they're going to get transplanted into the high tunnel.
Yeah, in some way or another. So basically, they start off in very awful conditions, and then they graduate into something better. And then they're like, oh, okay, well, I done unlocked all this genetic potential. So let me run with it, man. It's like God knew what he was doing. How about that? Yeah. So, here we are trying to come up with crazy, idiotic, genetic Frankenstein, you name it. Meanwhile, you know, we probably got some legit solutions out there that really, really work. And we'll let y'all know how it works out. If anybody else wants to try it out there, and go check out Stefan Subkoviak. Man, I keep messing up his name. Go check out his YouTube channel. And you don't have to go far back, and you'll find it. Give it a shot. See how it works for you. Let everybody know. Because we're trying to find every single thing possible to make the world aware that there is, I mean, that we have got to get very, very clever, especially, you know what I was thinking also when it comes to that experiment is that when they're dropping all these aluminum powders, barium salts, all these things, and by the way, y'all, aluminum is not naturally in the atmosphere. If it's there, it's because it was sprayed there, by the way. So for all the people say, oh, this just, you know, just vapors from a plane. No, it is not. The evidence is overwhelming. Go check out Dame Wigington. I've talked about it a number of times. But I'm wondering, as a little side note, it just occurred to me that I wonder if this thing being able to not unlock all of this genetic potential, if it could overpower the crap they're spraying from the sky.
We'll see. I know a lot of people mysteriously lose plants all of a sudden for no apparent reason when they've never had those issues before. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Hey, also some awful news out there. My friend Raul over at the Firmamental podcast, he lost his nephew, Matthew Douglas Dixon. And almost certainly, how do I say this? He was a young man. He sent me pictures of him. I mean, a guy just looking like he's on top of the world. He found the Lord, which is the most important thing you can do. And he gave up the ghost recently, and it was mysterious. And it sounds like he, quote, died suddenly. And then it wasn't long after that I spoke to Raul on the phone, and it wasn't. A couple of hours later, he's calling me up again, and then another person that he knows very close to him, once again, probably on death's door. It was like they were like doing last rites. I mean, it was that close, and for the same exact reason. So, folks, look, man, there are ways out there that we're finding out. I don't check out the work of Dr. Anna Miachik. And she's talking about EDTA chelation therapy, and it's something you can do at home. You can use suppositories. You can even take it orally. She's talking about that there are ways to chelate the key metals out of you to where this stuff is made essentially inert. Then you have other people out there, can't think of the doctor's name right now, but if you go check out SGT report, I bought some of this stuff. It's called Masterpiece. And you stick it under your tongue twice a day. And it also supposedly, the guy who wrote, I can't think of his name right now, but he was the guy that wrote the pH miracle. And he's highly endorsed it, even though he's not in, you know, he's not affiliated with these guys that I understand. And supposedly that's another way to chelate this stuff out of you. Now they're dropping this stuff in the air by, look, call me conspiracy theorist all you want. Whenever you throw that word around, by the way, when you say conspiracy theory, just know that that term was invented not long after the Kennedy assassination by the CIA. Folks, this is declassified, to marginalize anybody that asks critical questions about how Kennedy really died. So anybody that throws conspiracy theory at you out there, just maybe you might want to retort with that. Because the real truth of it is, I mean, this stuff is everywhere. And whether you took that jab or whether Dr. Miachik and a number of others are finding that the same thing that's in the blood of those people is now in the people that are unvaxxed, but there are ways to chelate this out of you with EDTA therapy. And you, like I said, you could do that yourself. And also possibly this, these dropper stuff called Masterpiece. I don't have a link for any of that, but if you go check out the SGT report, that's part of his gig. I didn't want to zoom in on it or horn in on anything he was doing. And honestly, when it comes to medical things like that, y'all, I try not, if I have, I don't recall, but typically, it's my policy that when it comes to things like that, man, I am not looking to aggrandize myself in any way whatsoever. I just want people to get the information, and especially if there are free healing modalities out there, where it's grounding or morning sun or some of the other things we're talking about, I want to just get it out there. I just want everybody to go give it a shot. But 9 times out of 10, when you don't charge for anything, most people think it's worthless.
Yeah, that's true. And one thing that I've been doing, like laying out on the ground whenever the weather cooperates for, and I first started doing it like just 15 minutes at the time at a time. But then there was this one woman that I've listened to where she actually has moved to a tropical location to where she can get sun to make sure she gets sun as much as possible. And she actually lays outside on the ground without her clothes on for like 2 hours a day. So she says to work up to it. But the thing that I've noticed, I mean, I don't lay out there for 2 hours a day, but the thing that I've noticed is we went to the Scalar Energy Healing place, and the effects that I get from laying out on the ground in the sun are similar to the way I felt when I came out of that Scalar Healing place.
Scalar Wave. Yeah. Yeah, there's a bunch of these places. They got one in Nashville, and I heard about it on Mike Adams one time, and they're using these Scalar Waves. I'm not quite sure how it works. And so Michelle had been in at that time in a lot of pain when we first discovered this. And I said, okay, we're going to go there. There was a lot of stress going on. You were in a lot of pain and discomfort at the time.
Right.
And so you go in there and you're sitting in these, what do you call them? Like
they're
recliners.
Just, yeah, they're just recliners.
And there's these weird TV sets all the way around. And apparently it's sending out these healing frequencies, which I really believe in. I mean, I know these things. If there's, you know, if there's dissonance out there, there's got to be consonance. So, so many people had gone on about how they were having these healing journeys using this stuff. So I said, let's go give it a shot. We went in there, you sit in the chair, and honestly, I walked out of there feeling great.
Yeah.
And you like, were having tingles though in like your hands. Was it your extremities? Well,
what I was noticing was, like you said, didn't you fall asleep the first time?
Yeah.
I was not able to fall asleep. I was kind of, it actually, I think it did the opposite where I was like, it was kind of stimulating, but also I was having like tingling in my feet for sure.
And you were having problems with some stuff in your feet.
Right. Yeah.
And so you would walk, we'd walk out of there and you were feeling great. So you're telling me you're getting about the same effect.
Yeah.
Just laying on the ground in the sun.
This is what I wonder, because I was thinking about it today. That when we first went, we would go for like 2 and 3 hours at a time. And I wonder if I would lay out on the ground for that same time period, if the effects wouldn't be the same.
Well, that's the real trick. I mean, most people out there, you know, they work regular 9-to-5 jobs, and you and I are moving from the time we get up until the time we go to bed. I mean, as we're recording this right now, it's 8 p.m.
Yeah.
And we've been going at all, you know, we've been moving all day long. So it's really just trying to find, and what I try to do, okay, so on my end of it, what I try to do, and man, this is really, really tough when you're in the middle of something, or you know you got a list of things you need to get done, to stop what I'm doing and go out there, put my feet on the ground, take my shirt off, sit in the sun, no matter the weather, I mean, as long as it's not raining or something, sit out there, put my feet on the ground, and then either do some kind of Bible study or something like it, or it could be even be deep breathing. It's any number of healing modalities, but man, I'll get to that in a minute, because I really think we got to stay on top of this stuff and definitely stay in prayers, y'all. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say this without breaking any confidence, but I know a number of people, you know, that do YouTube channels, and I know a number of people that do podcasts. And we talk from time to time, not often, but we do talk. And some of the people I know on YouTube, you know, you and I recently had a conversation with some other people that, if I said their names, y'all, you would know who they are. But there's a lot of spiritual attacks going on right now. And whether it's my friend Raul or the other host of the Firmamental podcast, I won't go into what he said specifically, but it was almost exactly the same spiritual attacks you were dealing with.
Right. And I wonder if it was the same time period too.
Well,
I think it was pretty close.
It might very well be. And then, you know, last night, y'all, I was dealing with some ghastly things that I don't even want to repeat. And also I'm finding out that these other people are dealing with that as well. Folks, I'm going to tell you straight. We need your prayers. We really do. Especially those of us that are in the arena, so to speak, as Teddy Roosevelt put it. We're in the arena, and whether it's the enemy or his forces or minions out there who are put out by what we do, what we say, and what we stand for, look, y'all, we're putting on that whole armor, and it ain't just us. I mean, I'm talking about the people I know that are YouTubers and podcasters and stuff like that. But look, it's for y'all also, y'all. I pray for you, and I'm asking you to pray for us, because it seems, I don't think it's any coincidence that a number of the people I know that are in this space, that are really, really out there trying to speak truth to power, are all suffering from this same kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it doesn't seem an accident to me, but y'all, I'm going to appeal and ask you for your prayers, and we're going to be praying for you as well.
Yeah. Also know that we pray for you all every day as well.
Yeah, we do. We pray that the information we're putting out is a blessing to you. I mean, not all of it's going to be, you know, talking about Black History Month, maybe more edifying and, you know, for me or something like that on the YouTube video. But by and large, the information we put out there, and believe me, if I wanted to get 1 million subscribers on YouTube, I know exactly the formula to do it. I'm just not going to engage in any of this, what I call gratuitous vulgarity. And that's exactly the way I see it. Just to get numbers up, I'm not going to do that. And I respect the people that don't do that. But I think a lot of you already know the people that do do that. All right, before we get into the good news section, I want to remind you this weekend coming up, I'm going to be at Organic Grower School in Mars Hill, North Carolina. And there's going to be a lot of other folks out there. There's going to be some good things. And there's going to be things that you may want to avoid out there. You're going to be there as well, right?
Yeah, I'll be there. Tim and Sophie will be there. Tim and Sophie
are going to be there, yep.
Sprinkle with soil. So yeah, come on out. It'll be a fun time.
Yeah. And also just keep in mind that this festival, I don't want anybody to be shocked, but it does have it is more of a leftist component, but there is some really good information and some classes out there.
Yeah. The speakers there, not all the speakers are left leaning. They usually have some pretty good speakers.
You know, I ain't. And last year when I was at this thing, believe me, I started off to make sure anybody who was man, it was amazing the look of disdain I was getting from this one guy in the front row, man. You can just tell by the look on his face that if he could, he wanted to come up and punch me just based on some of the politically incorrect things I said. I guess he wasn't happy that the fact that I didn't see myself as a victim.
Yeah.
So, there was that one guy. I can't get him out of my face. He's just looking at me like he just wants to cut me.
How dare you? How dare you not know your victim status?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, by and large, it's actually a pretty cool gathering. So, go check it out. Had one of the organizers on there with me last week. So, also coming up real soon is Keeper of the Old Ways. That's going to be April 12th and 13th. We just had Jessica on the show the other day. That is a really fun festival. Really good place. You liked it down there.
Yeah, it was. It was the town's nice. The venue is nice and open, relaxing.
You know, what was really great is that you're in the country at the venue, but you're still a stone's throw from the city.
Yeah.
So you're not really, I mean, it's really set up for kids. It's a really great time. And then here coming up before too long, I'm also going to be at this one. If you'll notice, I'm sticking to the ones that are kind of close to the house, especially now. We got Little Sheep coming and can't have her out here all by herself dealing with these things, or we're going to have some problems. So Mountain Readiness, that's going to be May 3rd through the 5th, and that's in Harmony, North Carolina. I'm going to be there. Mike the Fit Farmer is going to be there. Tim and Sophie, once again, are going to be there. And y'all, you really want to check that out, man. I was floored the last time I was there because I could not believe the number. I couldn't believe the quality of the instructors. And this is like one of the best festivals nobody's ever even heard of.
And I looked at their instructors. It's like they got even more, like, really good instructors.
I don't know how T does it. I need to get him back on the show to help promote this thing, because it is, honestly, I was floored at the 2-hour tracking class, and I was absolutely blown away. I've always been intrigued by tracking, you know, tracking people is what he's teaching you. And it's amazing how much you learn in a 2-hour class. And I'd really love to do the longer version of that. It's just trying to find the time, man. But I got to say that, oh my goodness. And the best food truck I've ever been to in my life is out there. I can't even think of the name of it, but they're going to be back because the guy, he's a former surgeon, became a food truck operator. And I think it was the whole COVID sweet and sour sniffles that got him out of it. He started a food truck, and my man is a flipping alchemist.
I think you have a favorite food truck at every one of these festivals.
Well, the two best food trucks, I'll just go ahead and tell you. One of them ain't even a food truck anymore, man, which kind of breaks my heart because, man, he would always be at Back to the Land Festival, and that is the Slothful Waffle. The truck got hit. Now they got a brick and mortars location, which if I ever find my way out that way, man, it's like way off the beaten path. I'm going to have to go check it out. But this dude will, it is amazing. Well, even the burger, the best burger we had around here came off a food truck.
Yeah, a food truck, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like some of the best food you're going to find, believe it or not, is on a food truck. And I will say, man, I wish I could remember the name of it, but he's going to be out there at this next Mountain Readiness. And like I told him before, I said, dude, if the food truck, if this guy's going to be there, I will be there.
Somebody needs to do a dessert food truck. Maybe we ought to do
that. Slawful Waffle had that.
That's not really what I'm thinking of dessert.
No, you got a good point there. I mean, if you did things like, I'll tell you what I'd like to see on a food truck. And this is just from me growing up in Oklahoma. I want to see an Indian taco truck.
Oh my goodness.
A real deal Indian taco with fry bread. Real deal deep fried Indian fry bread with the beans and all the rest of it on top. That's what I'm talking about. I guarantee my Indian taco truck would make more.
What?
Yes, it would make more.
I promise you it would not.
You're telling me your dessert food truck.
Absolutely. If you were to get Stephanie and Donnie, two chefs in that has a bakery in Asheville, they would make a killing.
Well, I don't know. I'll have to put it up. You know what? I might think about this Indian taco thing, dude, because honestly, man, I miss it. The worst Indian taco I ever had in my life was actually on the Navajo reservation. You were there for that. And so was William. It was a Navajo reservation. Yeah, we were up near South Dakota.
Was it a white person that made it?
No, they were straight up natives, man.
they were like, we're just going to give this to these white people. They don't know any better.
They didn't see my native side. I mean, I was like, dude, I mean, can I get a little bit of, can you represent here? I mean, because that taco was checked up. And it was like, I mean, it was just awful, man. I was like, You gotta ease up on whatever you guys are not doing and actually do this right. Come on, man. You would think you'd be able to get an Indian taco right on a Navajo Indian reservation.
There's a certain kind of flour that you're supposed to use, and it's from that part of the world. I bet they were saving that for them.
Well, they wouldn't giving it to us, man, because that was absolutely awful. And then they got lazy over the years. I mean, in Oklahoma, Indian tacos and, you know, that was just what we ate, man. That was like the thing to go to at the state fair, all the fairs, and you didn't get them all the time. And like I said, you could just eat the fry bread straight. You love that.
Yeah, I like fry bread just by itself. I don't need all that other stuff on it.
Folks, if you don't know what an Indian taco is, you don't know what you're missing. Then they got lazy and then started making them like out of funnel cake batter or something like that. Man, it's cold-blooded. I just want the old stuff back, y'all. All right, so I'm going to get into the good news section. We used to have bad news, good news, but now it's all good news. And, my way of looking at things, it might be a little bit different. So this one's going to sound a little different. So 7 toxic ingredients in cosmetics and personal care products. You got aluminum, coal tar, formaldehyde, lead acetate, petroleum distillates, phthalates, I can't even pronounce that one, and toluene. Well, the reason why I'm saying this is good news is because there are healthy versions of this. You don't wear makeup, so I guess you don't know. Do you know what they are?
Healthy. I know there's a one. I can't even remember the name of it right now, but there are supposed to be some healthier options.
Well, one of the ones I do know about is from some of the study that I'm doing right now. And it seems like, and this is going to sound crazy, y'all, but I learned this from Dr. Egg Group, that some of the best cosmetics on the planet, their key ingredients, believe it or not, is urine. Okay. So, yeah, going right back to this urine discussion again. Folks, hey, I'm telling you what, there's a whole lot of healing modalities out there that you don't know about because the powers that shouldn't be don't want you to know about it. And it might literally be under your nose. So, here's the other good news. Mayor Eric Adams rebukes New York City sanctuary city status because it prevents him from deporting illegal aliens. So, what do you got to say about this, Michelle? You're a native New Yorker.
Not that part of New York. I'm from upstate, which is it might as well be a separate part of New York City. Might as well be a separate part of the state because it's completely different.
Yeah, she comes from a place, y'all, like around the Pennsylvania, New York area. It's like a whole nother planet.
Yeah, it's It's not even the same. And somebody actually was just talking about it. I can't remember who it was, but like all these places, these big cities completely ruin these states, like New York City, like Chicago. They just ruin the whole state.
Yeah. If you ever talk to the people outside of New York City, good night, man. It's really shocking how conservative these people are. It's like they, every notion you think you have of New York, people think it's from New York City. But let me get back to the article here. So I'm calling this good news because, I mean, first of all, Eric Adams, okay, New York is probably one of the only places in the country where everybody in the country knows who the mayor is. And Eric Adams being the mayor there, okay? So the Big Apple. And the guy, I mean, if you just look at him, he looks like one of those aliens, man, one of those gray aliens. I mean, that's honestly what he looks like. But anyway, he's into apparently a number of healing modalities. That's another program altogether. But the guy is, I mean, it's gotten so bad. It is, believe me, y'all, I could go through story after story after story between New York City and San Francisco. Between the two of those, you could fill volumes in every newspaper every day about how these things. So why is that good news? Because, folks, it's got to get better before it gets worse. When you, just like I said in an interview I did the other day, I've done so many of them lately, I can't remember where I said it. But honestly, when you hit this level of depravity in a country, only the crucible of really hard times can fix it. So it's got to get so bad. It's got to get so bad that people scream and say, oh, my goodness, we can't take this anymore. And I don't know that New York City is really crying uncle yet. And, you know, maybe they bring in somebody like a Giuliani, which I got to. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of him either, especially with his role on 9/11. Believe me, y'all, I could tell you stories about that guy.
Well, so, but he did clean up New York City.
Yes, he did, because, in terms of the crime. Right. But he became part of another crime family, the True. Bush crime family.
Yeah, I'm just saying he did clean up New York City.
Yeah, yeah. And Dan Bongino, I'm not a fan of Bongino either because I know him to be a pathological liar. So, but, you know, even if a notorious liar tells you the truth, it's still the truth. But yeah, under Giuliani's reign, yeah, they got a hold of it. And people were getting dusted every single time you turn around. In fact, I think I was in New York City when Paul Castellano got murdered outside of Stack Steakhouse. I think I was there at that time when that went down. You know, I was a little pup back then, but high school, if memory serves. Yeah, I think I was there when he dusted him. But every single time you turn around, somebody was getting smoked.
Well, and you couldn't even go there without getting stolen either, even if you just went to visit.
I literally saw with my own two eyes, me and my friend Chris, we were walking down the street down New York City. We were literally watching these two guys. They looked Jamaican, and they were cleaning out this woman who was walking across the street. She had her purse, and these guys were acting as if they were having a conversation and reaching into her bag, stealing the stuff out of her bag while nobody had cell phones back then, but she was clearly somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Her bag wasn't zipped. They were in there. And I remember as a young man looking at this and thinking, you know, I just didn't even know how to process what I was seeing. So I'd always wished in hindsight that I would have went over there and said something, but the place was so doggone crowded and I might as well have been on another planet.
Yeah. Yeah. It was probably so different of an environment from where you came from.
From where I came from in Oklahoma, and here I am in New York City. And all of a sudden, I'm seeing this unfold right there in front of me. It was across the street, but we're sitting here watching. Like, is this possible?
What, we had a friend that we grew up with. It was like their vacation or whatever. They would go to the city, and every single time they would get mugged. And I was like, why? Like, why do you keep going back? I don't understand.
I don't know. I don't know why people, at this point ever want to visit. But you know what? It's going to have to get way, way worse before it gets way better. And that's why I'm calling this a good news article. So the third one right here, chlorine dioxide makes chickens healthier, study says. Well, chlorine dioxide isn't just for chicken. Some people put it in their water and they're saying it'll, in a nutshell, the article saying that it would do a good job in staving off the bird flu. But it's also in that same category of as ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine regarding a certain thing that was out there. Well, why am I trying? Okay, the sweet and sour sniffles, what they call COVID. Yeah, so that was a cure for a lot of that stuff out there. And so if you go and check out Safrax.com, you can get some of this stuff. And it, I mean, it, what it does is absolutely magical. So I'm not going to go through all of it right now, but the bottom line is you really need to have this stuff in your medicine cabinet, or you can get the, we got both kinds where you can get it from Safrax in the form of a tablet, or you can get it where you get two. It's basically illegal to ship, even though this stuff is harmless. And you got to get two different substances. You put them together in different ratios, and then you let it sit for a while. Then, bam, you got hydroxy. You have chlorine dioxide. It sounds awful, but it's really not. I mean, this stuff does everything from cleaning out. You take cigarettes in a car, and you put chlorine dioxide in there. It'll get rid of the smell. Bad pet smell, you name it, same thing. But it also has medicinal qualities that I'm not feeling qualified to really go into. But examine it for yourself. And there's a whole lot of people out there that have been a real champion for this stuff. And some people, as I understand it, are still in jail because they were curing people with this stuff. So look into chlorine dioxide and see what you find out for yourself. All right, with that, y'all, we're going to go on to my man, Eric Sider.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, a value proposition. Expensive is subjective. What is considered expensive to one person is cheap to another. It's not about affordability. It's a value judgment. If you view something as expensive, it's because you don't value it. We undervalue ourselves in permaculture, partly because we want to help as many people as we can, but we risk damaging the value at the same time. We equate quality with price. The same people complaining things should be free don't value it when it is. This doesn't mean we need to close ourselves off to people. We can offer barter, trade, and donation options. The Permaculture Design Course has an inbuilt scholarship. For every 20 paid students, allows for one scholarship student. This can be applied to other products and services. To be sustainable means you must produce a surplus to reinvest into maintenance and repair. To be regenerative, you must produce a surplus on top of that to reinvest in other systems. Charging so little you are barely covering costs is not people care. Luxury goods may seem the antithesis of permaculture, but they are more similar than you think. How much do you think you'd need to charge for a permaculture-produced wool sweater made in the United States? From the farm to manufacture and distribution, all small scale, local, handcrafted, with the best materials, paying a living wage, and using sustainable practices all the way through, it would need to be $1,000 minimum. I'm not talking Tractor Supply, I'm talking Louis Vuitton. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider, and if you're in need of permaculture t-shirts or remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com.
That's my dog right there. Once again, Eric knocked it out of the park. Man, he's absolutely correct. And I'm, you know, there's people like Gerald Celente. I interviewed him years ago when I was still doing radio. And that was one thing that he was really, really, really cognizant of. Like, for example, everything he wore was made by a seamstress. There was somebody who actually made that product. And I'm sure he still operates the same way, where it's not going to pick something off the shelf, but get Nathan Reynolds was talking about this very thing when I interviewed him the last time, how they wear it's flax. What do you call that?
Linen.
And he and his wife, if you watch some of the stuff that he's talked about, you know, it's expensive because it takes time to do this stuff. There's no main manufacturing because it probably does work so well. The all of it lasts forever in a day. And as one of the things on my to-do list is to basically get myself some linen. Honey, what are you going to think of them? What do you think? I'm going to walk around here in a robe or what?
I'm not sure. What is your plan?
I don't know exactly. I want to see if I can get a... The problem is I always have to have pants that have cargo pockets.
Yeah.
I got to have it. I mean, that's just... One thing I simply have to have, regular pockets and cargo pockets. I don't know if I'd have to commission somebody to do this, but, you know, wear one, wash one, man. If that's what I got to wind up doing. But, you know, Nathan even found linen socks. I mean,
yeah, I don't think that the linen, like, it would be the work clothes that seems like it would be difficult to find.
Well, it probably would. I'm sure somebody out there has got to be doing something that's, you know, at least something I could wear. You know, I could wear silk in the summer and linen in the winter. How about that? What do you think?
I would love to see you work in this.
Well, I got to say, the most comfortable thing I ever put on my body was a silk shirt.
Yeah, but you wear it as like a base layer during the wintertime.
No, no. I'm saying like I had a silk shirt once upon a time. That must have been
before I
knew you. No, you were there. My brother got it. He's the one that when we went to Mexico that time, that's when I got the shirt. It was made out of silk. And it felt like in the winter that, you know, this thing would breathe so awesome that it was just, it would blow your mind. But going back to what Eric said, you know, it's, I'm going to try to be a lot more conscious about the things. I want to get things that are handmade. I want to get things that are permaculture made, so to speak, and maybe have less of it because it is in fact more expensive. And, you know, the trade-off would be obviously in fact, what Nathan was talking about, and it even goes back to the Old Testament where they were talking about not mixing fabrics. And he didn't really understand the complete reason why, and nobody did. There was very few did. Because that part's not explained to you. But what blew my mind is that somebody, and I've got to find this email, where they were talking about the frequencies that are given off when you mix these fabrics. Mm-hmm. And it blew my mind. Hey, if you're listening out there, bro, can you send it again? Because they play games with my email. I'm not sure I can find it again. I wanted to hang on to that, but somehow I can't seem to find it anymore. Go figure. So if you're listening out there, man, please send that information again of all these tests they did, where it was one fabric and it had a certain wavelength and it was good. And then whenever you start mixing them, then all of a sudden you got problems. Once again, it sounds like God knew what he was doing, huh? All right. So we get into the main topic, and guess what? We're going to be back to permaculture today. So EMP Shield, y'all, 50 bucks off with promo code PERMA. The most threatening threat out there is, believe it or not, lightning. And, you know, of course, there is that EMP threat as well. The more we seem to want to start World War III, and yes, it's us trying to start it. You need to be protected. If you got one on your vehicle, it's not to go to the club after things jump off. It's to get to the house. And then if you got one on your house, your biggest threat is lightning. So if anything gets Kentucky fried downstream of that EMP shield, y'all, bam. They're going to cover you all the way up to 25 G's. That's what I'm talking about. EMPShield.com, promo code PERMA. Get your 50 bucks off. All right, so we talked about it before, and it's been a couple of weeks before I got back to it. But I wanted to give you time to kind of marinate on it a little bit. We're talking about the 12 principles of permaculture. Now, we covered the first four in one episode. Then we covered the next four, and now we're in the final four. So we're going to kind of bat this back and forth between me and the homestead honey. And we're going to kind of go into this. So we're on to part nine, which is use small, slow solutions. Now I'll kick it off by saying one area where that makes absolute great, wonderful sense. Well, it makes sense in just about everything. And folks, honestly, go back, examine all 12 and tell me if you can't apply those same 12 into your life, mm-hmm. not just on your property, but you can absolutely use them in your life. So, you know, we could even look at this both ways. Use small, slow solutions. Like Michelle was talking a minute ago about laying out. So, okay, you did it first. It started with your feet on the ground. Then you started with your body on the ground. And now you're increasing the amount of time you're doing it.
Right, gradually.
Right. So that's a small, slow solution. I'm going to say rotational grazing also, because when you get into it, you may not know which is the best. Look, moving them at all is better than leaving them there, no matter what. Let's say you don't get it down perfect. Let's say you find yourself, okay, well, we had a slight interruption. That was weird. I don't know what that was. But anyway, small, slow solutions. I'm going to talk about rotational grazing. When you get into rotational grazing, you may not get it perfectly every time. And you may struggle a little bit trying to find your way on it, but you get there, you know, you try it one way. Let's say like right now, it's almost in the spring. We got them on a 3-day rotation. Well, that may not work for you where you live. You may want a two-day rotation. It might even be up to five, depending on the paddock you got them in. So you make adjustments little by little, small, small, slow solutions. Do you have any you'd like to apply?
Well, some people recommend doing that for your diet. If you're trying to make, changes in your diet, most people, now William can go from eating whatever he wants all the time to something extreme like carnivore or keto. And he does it like in one day, but that's not the recommended way to do it. If he can do it, that's great, but most people can't do it that way. So they recommend making like small changes and be consistent with that small change and then adopt another change. So let's just say you decide to take sugar out. I mean, that's a pretty big one, but take sugar out, do that a couple weeks, and then make another change. So it's not just overwhelming all at once.
Like gluten-free, sugar-free all at the same time.
Right.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Man, yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. I had another good one, but I you know, in the interest of time, I'll go ahead and move on. So number 10, use and value diversity. Okay. Once again, you could apply that in your own life. And it could be in the type of food you eat. It could be any number of ways. I'll leave that to the homestead honey to jump on the back end of that. But I'm going to say, in terms of what you're doing out there in your yard, in your farm, in your apartment, you know, what do we talk about all the time? Guilds. What is that? You're using and you're valuing diversity, because each thing is like the fingers of your hand. It does a specific task. It does multiple tasks, but each thing is a benefit to the thing around it. That is the beauty of this entire design system. Companion planting, same exact thing. Mm-hmm. How about the permaculture orchard? That's exactly what it is. So let's say you have a Cortland apple. Well, the next apple down the line is not going to be a Cortland.
Right.
It's going to be another cultivar altogether, because you're using and valuing diversity in such a way to where if one thing gets wiped out, it doesn't wipe out anything, everything. Just like you see in every single orchard we have around us, outside of our own, is basically a monoculture orchard.
Yeah.
So when the, like, oh, shoot, you know, one of the apples goes out, all of them go out.
Right.
Or unless they're spraying tons and tons of chemicals on them. So that's why you use and value diversity. Anything you want to add to that?
No, I was thinking of like a monocrop situation.
Yeah. So you're always going to have nature. Go outside, look out your door, look in the woods. If you're driving down the road, look on each side of you. Do you see two of the same tree in row after row after row? No, you don't do it that way. It's not the way God set it up. So that's exactly what we want to do. We want to look and see how the good Lord made all these things go together, and then we want to take it home and replicate it. So number 11, and I love this one. We've talked about it a lot. Use edges and value the margin or the marginal. Okay, if anybody who's a deer hunter out there, where do deer typically travel when you see them? They're on the edges, in between the pasture and the timber. You know, you can think about wildlife in your pond. You know what, you know, when you see the pro fishermen out there, they're looking for topography in there where fish might want to hang out. Mm-hmm. And the cool thing about that, and Eric talked about it a little while ago in one of his tips, is that the beauty of where two media collide, whether it's your fence line and the grass, whether it's the shoreline and the water, whether it's the tree line and the pasture, you have the advantage. Organisms have the advantage of being able to use the best of both resources. So that's where you're going to see the most life. If you doubt me, go walk into a wood line, go walk into a forest, and tell me if the first 20 meters of that forest aren't dense. Then once you get inside there, all of a sudden it kind of clears out a little bit. Don't believe me, go give it a shot. I guarantee, unless man has done something with it, mm-hmm. That's always the case. It's always rough, and that's why nobody ever gets into the deeper parts of the woods, because you got to get through the nasty stuff on the edges. And it's that way, it's because all the action is happening. You ever notice when you weed eat your fence out there, let's say it's a chain link, you ever notice that where the chain link hits the grass, it's always tougher to deal with those parts? It's because you have two media colliding, and now whatever's growing there gets the benefit of both worlds. Anything to add?
No.
Bam. Okay, not the best color commentator for nothing.
No, I think you hit it all.
Okay, number 12, creative use and respond to change. So what is a better use of something? Let's say I go out there and, you know, with all the weather changes and the things that are going on right now, you're going to have things that you thought were in a good place. And then all of a sudden you get a rain event that happens, or good night. You're finding out, oh man, there's a whole lot of sun there. Okay, those gooseberries ain't going to work there. So creative use of that area would be to maybe trade out your gooseberries for something that's going to do better in that full sun, like maybe a blueberry or something else like it. So creative use and respond to change. Can that apply in your life?
Well, also, I think this goes back to one of the other important principles, which is observation. Like, you have to be able to observe, take the time and slow down and observe to see if things are working or they aren't working.
Well, that's one of, you know, for certain things, I'm not the best in the world at observation. And that's where the homestead honey comes into a lot of this stuff. But yeah, they do go hand in hand. And that you could also apply that to a lot of the other things. It really comes down to your observation. But then again, that creative use in responding to change is looking at what's there and saying, okay, am I going to make the problem the solution in a nutshell? Bill Mollison, 101. Am I looking at this? Okay, do I have a weed problem, or do I have a lack of sheep out there? Do I have a cricket problem, or do I have a lack of turkeys or chickens? You know, it's all a matter of how you look at it. And then responding, once again, going back to number 9, those slow, small solutions. Sometimes you need a rifle blast or a rifle bullet. Sometimes you need a shotgun blast. And then also with these slow solutions, once you understand what you're dealing with, then you can come out with a more aggressive approach, like going back to the rotational grazing. Now I'm talking about those slow solutions and how you might apply those. It may be a slow solution, but let's say you've been at it a while. Well, okay, do I want to throw compost tea on it, which is going to speed it up considerably? But I wouldn't consider doing any of that if I already didn't have a pretty good understanding on some of the other things. So, yeah, there you have it. There's 9, 10, 11, and 12, and I got the homestead honey weighing in on it. So we're going to get into the Q&A section. Well. Episode 175, once again, also brought to you by TexasBoys.com. They also have the Fearless podcast. So go ahead and check them out. You're going to be glad you did. They're talking about their version of a lot of the stuff that's going on in this world. And they're probably one of the heavily, man, I think they've been at 99,900 on YouTube since I've known them. So it's like, I mean, it's cold-blooded. Nothing's fair. Nothing's accurate. And they got into the podcasting game for a lot of the same reason we did. So go check them over there. Promo code PERMA will get you 5% off what they got. They had that food force in a box, but it's getting kind of long in the tooth. All right, so going to the Q&A. We got Jonathan over here. He's saying, good day. I'm going to have to abbreviate some of these, y'all. Good day. It seems like the easiest way to send it. I guess he tried to reach out to me before through one of the videos, and I didn't get it. Sometimes, y'all, a lot of this stuff happens and I don't get the message. It's not made known to me. And then I may find out about it a month or two later. But he was talking about some of the EMF stuff that's going on. And he's saying, yeah, although he's not an electrician, he did spend 8 years in the Air Force working on F-16s with a lot of EMF stuff. And so one of his solutions was to basically, as I understand it, put a ground rod out there and then put some conductive to the roof of your house. Yeah, you can absolutely. I mean, I haven't tested that, but theoretically, it sounds like that might be a solution. That might be a way of going about it. So it basically, his idea is that you ground it before it ever makes it into the house. And it's also something of a lightning rod too, depending on how you go about it. So that's one way of going about that. Thank you for all the, you know, there's so many people giving so many awesome ideas and advice out there. So check this one. I got this one from Andrew, and he's saying, so I found a potential candidate to eat Chinese silvergrass. I have no interest in raising grasshoppers to eat, but you could do it for chicken food. Now, he sent me this video, and I think it's in Thailand, and they're basically raising these crickets, and these people are using it as a, man, I guess they're going John the Baptist 101, man. They're over here eating locusts, and I don't know about the wild honey, but I imagine they got some. anyway, they're eating this stuff and they consider it a major staple in their diet. But he was saying you could do the very same thing, raise these crickets as chicken food. So that would be another way of going about it. That's definitely
an interesting solution.
Yeah, that's definitely thinking outside the box. But man, I don't know if I'm down for any of that. Steven says my 75 gallon per week smoothie store scrap. Basically, the guy I talked about a while ago, that was Steven, where he's getting stuff from the smoothie store and he's basically making compost out of it. Well, he's got mushrooms growing out of it and he's asking, is it a problem? Is there anything I should be doing about it? What do you say to that?
No, that's what it's supposed to be doing.
Yeah, that's actually quite a good problem. If anybody's going to call that a problem, bro, in terms of problems, honey, how do you rank that?
That is, yeah, whoever's calling that a problem doesn't know what they're talking about.
Or they just don't have the experience necessarily. Like, prime example, when Jeff Lawton was greening the desert in Jordan, when he put all that mulch out there, they started growing mushrooms out of there, and there hadn't been mushrooms there in living memory. And so they were losing their ever-loving mind, saying, man, there's fungus growing up out of here. And when they showed it to him, he's like, okay, it's mushrooms. I mean, that is a wonderful sign. It's showing that you have a soil food web kicking over there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, mushrooms are definitely a great idea. I mean, they're definitely a good thing out there. But the problem is that we get into is that when it comes to our compost piles, and we've gotten away from it. Yeah, if you're going to do an 18-day pile, I highly recommend that you do. Eric Sider sent me a video of Jeff Lawton after the 18-day pile was done, as I understand it. He was basically flipping it one more time and adding oat powder or oat flour into it, which is basically a major fungal food. There's other fungal foods out there. I mean, you know, paper. I mean, you name it, any woody, pulpy type thing. It's going to be fungal food, but this is definitely fungal food on steroids. We can flip it one more time, and that's part of it, is to get that fungal component in there. You can definitely throw that oat flour out there. In fact, I've done that experiment, and it's worked out quite well. You tested it under the microscope, and it was looking pretty good, wasn't it?
The fungal growth was significantly improved over the previous batch that didn't have the oat flour.
And that was a three-week process. So even if you did a short compost process, what's key in all this is that if you do that, you really don't want to disturb it, because as it's working out the mycelial layer in there, it needs time to, you know, fungus doesn't grow anywhere quickly. It doesn't grow as quickly as, let's say, bacteria, which I forget the numbers, but I mean, it's like, I think every 20 minutes, bacteria is doing its thing, and it's considerably longer for a fungus. So you're going to want to let that stuff set up for a while, then disturb it when you have to. So right now, this one is it's pretty long. It's lengthy. It's from a gentleman named Andy, and it took a while to unfold. Andy, if you don't mind, I'm going to kind of condense it a little bit. But basically, he grew up in a Mormon household, and there was a time where, you know, it was a tough household to grow up in. And he witnessed his mom throw dad out. And basically, as I understand it, mom ran off and dad's raising him. Found himself in a bad way, found himself in the wrong crowd. You know, all those things happen to so many of us, especially when you have a tough childhood, as you and I both do. And so anyway, he was saying he was watching the relationship that we have on this podcast, whether it's father and son and any of the others. And man, it's really heart-wrenching when you hear these stories about people that are changing their lives and you may have had a role in it. And he basically did a 180 with his life. I mean, everything was going to crap. Like, I talked to a good friend of mine on the phone today. And, you know, to borrow what somebody else said before, when life is going really sour for you, you never heard anybody in the history of your life ever say, you know what, man, life was on the ropes, man. Everything was awful. Nothing was going right. Well, I took up drinking and drugs and it all worked out. You never heard that in your life. And so I don't advise it now. So when things are tough, y'all, the hardest thing to do is to suck it up and drive on. When you engage in these other things, it only puts a Band-Aid on it, and you're going to be dealing with it later. No matter what, you're going to deal with it. So you're only compounding the tragedy every time you do things that make it tough. So anyway, he took himself from a life where he was basically going sideways, and his wife, her impetus made him realize that, hey, farming is a dream, you know, that they can make a reality. So he said, fast forward a year later, my life is 180 degrees different. I have a personal relationship with Father Yahweh and Christ Yeshua. I have a great relationship with my son, and my marriage is stronger than it ever was. And he said, Billy and William, you and your families helped change our lives. You were two of the strongest men in numerous walks. It's hard for me to hear all these wonderful things about me, but I do thank you. And I'm a very flawed man like so many others. And he also says here, Michelle, this is for you. Michelle, you're an amazing mother and a godly woman. And it shows you inspired my wife, who was all 5 foot nothing and about 90 pounds soaking wet, to do what she never thought she could. Aww. So
thank you. That's.
And folks, yeah. You have no idea. I mean, you struggle with a lot of self-worth issues, and you always have. And I keep telling her that she is a mag. And by the way, Andy, I want to thank you so much for reaching out. I'm sorry I couldn't read it all, but man, I can't begin to tell you how impactful it was to hear your story. And yeah, man, there's a lot of us that come from environments like that. You know, I come from one similar to that. It's not the same. Everybody has their own cross to bear, so to speak. But man, just because you're given this life, man, you can always do something with it. And it's so awesome to hear that you are doing wonderful things with yours and with your family. So I want to give a big shout out to you and your wife. And man, it's a real joy. So, honey, how does it feel to know that you're making a difference in this world?
Yeah, it makes you feel good. It makes you feel like it's worth it, and you're making a difference.
It does. It does. And it's because I don't have the highest degree of self-worth in a lot of ways. Any worth I have, I try to make sure that it's rooted completely in Jesus. And, you know, I'm nothing. We're nothing without him. Once again, folks, I want to remind you all, please pray for us. Pray for one another. And, you know, we got a lot of weird things going on in this world right now. The powers that shouldn't be don't want a lot of this stuff getting out there. They don't want you to know that it is very possible for you to grow all your food in no time at all. They don't want you to know that, you know, just a little bit of elbow grease will get you to the other side of other things. They don't want you to know that there's a community out there of so many people. That's why I talk about these festivals. There's a community out there. You're not as isolated as you think, I guarantee. And there's probably one going on not far from where you live. So thank you so much, y'all. Until next time, stay alert.
Stay alive.
I was catching the worm.